Once again, will you join me in prayer? Oh God, you have spoken your word and revealed your good news in Jesus the Christ. Fill all creation with that word again, so that proclaiming your joyful promises to all nations and singing of your glorious hope to all people, we may become one living body. Your hands, your presence, your feet in the earth today. Amen. So I'm going to go on a limb and paraphrase, plagiarize someone else's sermon. I'll state that up front. You might catch on whose it is, because we know that the world around us can be confusing and misguided at times. It's easy for us to point out the things that we think are kind of going wrong, but we also know that the world around us, we see it with our own two eyes, we hear it with our ears, we sense it in the people that we're with, that the world around us is filled with beauty and hope as well. Paul has been writing to the church in Corinth, and throughout this letter just continues to build this story of a community that's fragmented and dislocated from one another, a community that has separated itself from who they are to be. And today's reading highlights that disagreements and quarreling is present amongst the church. And we know that the church as a whole is across the United States, across the world, is also filled with that. It's no surprise that goes across our news feed of the churches that are just fragmenting and separating along the way, that disagreements are present. And I don't have an answer for that. I'm not going to try to go into that. But this morning, if anything else, in the season of Epiphany, where every 3 years we get this moment to just hear the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, that can easily be truncated when Lent comes in, because that is based on Easter, and that changes every year. So we don't always get the full 3 chapters of Matthew as Jesus teaches. Sometimes, like today, our last reading of the Sermon on the Mount, it gets cut a little short. So I'm going to borrow the words of Jesus through the Sermon on the Mount, just for us to hear it, for us to hear these words that weren't cut off by chapters and verses, but for us to once again be drawn into this story. I add, this has a little bit of Josh Rude to it as well. So take it for what it's worth. Maybe revisit the story later. See how far off base or maybe how close I am at times. I've heard Jesus say as he was being followed by those attracted to him and taught his early disciples, maybe you're at the end of your rope, but know that God moves toward you. And maybe you mourn the loss of someone you love, someone maybe recently, or someone you've missed for a long time. God moves towards you. And maybe you're content with who you are while those around you desire something a little bit more flashy. Know that you have just what you need. And maybe something inside you burns when people are wronged, when injustice is present. This hunger for things to be set right will be filled. And maybe you long to offer care and hospitality in places and to the people seemingly forgotten. God smiles upon this. Maybe you strive to have your inside world, everything in you, your mind and your heart, put right. You then see God's presence in the outside world. And maybe you work diligently for people to join together instead of compete or fight. This is what the family of God is to look like. you're on the right path. And maybe you are harassed for pursuing the ways of the kingdom. Even amidst this, God's kingdom is opening wide for you. If this has been you, maybe you have felt forgotten, but you're not. God's face shines on you. And the world longs for beautiful things, but often moves to what is easy. Remember, you are Christ's presence in the world. You are the ones that add light and color, texture and flavor. Don't overlook your role as Christ's presence. Don't hide this story. Don't tuck this life-giving goodness away. May it shine like the lights of a city on a mountaintop, where everyone from the north and the south and the east and the west can see it. For what Jesus is about is not new. He is the picture of what God has been about, what we read in our scriptures, what has shaped the life of Israel, shaped the life of the church for centuries upon centuries, bringing about in this world what is right and loving and good. That is the heart of God. This is real. This is what you are about. Don't trivialize it. Live it out loud. We are all asked to do far better than the Pharisees or even the pastors. You know much of what the Old Testament says, but do we hear and understand it correctly? We know that murder is wrong, but so is anger. Don't call each other names. Don't speak ill behind someone's back. The phrase, "sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt," is wrong. Words kill. So guard yourself on what you say. And when you enter into worship, offering your gifts, do a little gut check. Examine yourself. Maybe you have a grudge against someone else, or they have one against you. Leave your offering aside for a moment. Go make amends. Writing relationships is more important. Or maybe someone speaks ill about you. Don't take revenge. Be the bigger person. Make things right. Make the first move. Live into your call as children of God. And we know this commandment well. Don't get in a relationship with someone else's spouse. But even more, keep it out of your mind. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful leer. Tuck your hand away if it causes you to raise it against someone else. Our scriptures write about divorce, saying to do it legally, giving notes or a paper. But that is too often used as a cover for selfishness and working and living on a whim. Examine yourself. Oh, and let your word be enough. It seems to be forgotten these days. If you said you will do something for someone, do it. If you said you will pray for them, do it. Our words are what we have. Let's aim for a day where we don't need contracts or lawyers. Sorry for those lawyers out there. But let our words be enough. And retribution is a reaction. It can be part of our human nature. But Jesus reminds us not to hit back. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Instead, don't keep score and live generously. And we've also read as well to love your friends and hate your enemies. That's what is in Scripture. But the arc of God's story is about loving your enemy as well. It's there. It's throughout Scripture. The story of God. And this can be hard, and we recognize that. But what we are, it is what we are invited to. Love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. And in a word, what Jesus is saying is, grow up. You are kingdom people. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. And don't make a performance out of your goodness, trying to get an audience, having the spotlight on you for a moment. Not only can people see through it, but God is not applauding. So when you do something for someone, don't draw attention to yourself. Just do it quietly. And if you can, unnoticed. For God does know. And that is enough. And when you pray, same thing. Don't draw attention to yourself. That is not what it is about. Instead, find a quiet, secluded place, be undistracted, and let the focus to shift from you to God. And you will sense God's grace and God's presence. And the world is full of so-called prayer warriors with techniques and advice and programs that miss the point. God knows you better than you know yourself. God will speak for you and give you words. And when you struggle to find the words to pray, you can pray simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what is best, as above, so be it below. Keep us alive with food that sustains. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. And keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, and may we keep in our mind that there's a connection between what God does and what we do. We can't get forgiveness from God without also forgiving others. Now, fasting can be good. It'll be a part of our rhythm when we move into Lent. Whether food or some other appetite that may be a rhythm that needs to be reset in our lives. But again, don't make a production out of it. If you're going to fast, if you go into this, act normally outwardly. Move in the world in a way that people around you wouldn't know. For your fasting is with you and God. For your relationship. It is a way of saying yes to God. And it's not a form of bragging rights or showboating. As for stuff, well, you can't take it with you. Plus, it binds up your attention and heart more than you know. Check your relationship with money and stuff often. You may be surprised at how it draws you in, grabbing all of your attention. Watch out. You may be serving, even worshiping, your stuff. Your eyes are windows into your body. Let your eyes be open wide in wonder and belief. It will fill your body with the good light. And in God's economy, there is more than enough, which means that we have our responsibility as kingdom people to share. But also, we do not need to worry about food or clothes. This can mean that our meals may be simple at times, and their clothes might be simple as well, not needing endless closet space to store each outfit. God provides. Look around you, the created world. It's beautiful, it's lush, it might be filled with snow at the moment, but we know what comes after the snow. When the tulips and the daisies push up, flowers fill the fields, bees begin buzzing about, animals also have the food that they need and the shelter. Each thing is dressed accordingly to what God has given. And you are even more loved by God. So give your entire attention to what God is doing right now today, because God is present in your life even if you are feeling unaware. Don't let your worry about tomorrow distract you today. And don't pick on people or jump on their failures. Ugh, that critical spirit always comes back to bite. And you know the story. Don't point out the speck in another's eye without noticing the log in your own. Everyone is carrying a heavy burden. Sometimes we don't see the heaviness that they may carry. They're doing their best. We are all trying to do our best amidst the many challenges that we face each day. So before you say something that hurts or place yourself above one another, take a look in the mirror. See if there is a log that is protruding from yourself. And don't be flip with the sacred. Banter and silliness give no honor to God. Don't reduce holy mysteries to slogans. Check your heart. Is it in the right place? And don't bargain with God. Be direct. Don't be afraid to ask. Maybe it's part of God's desire for you. Maybe not. But ask. Be clear. Our scriptures remind us that those that ask might receive, but we also know in our scriptures of those that lament, and in the story of Job that had things taken away. God, no matter what, is present with you. And remember that God loves you deeply, more than you know. So be in conversation with God. Oh, and here is a simple rule of thumb. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. This is embedded in God's story. This is who God has always been inviting people to be, doing for others what we would have them do for us. Set the example. And may you live your life in a manner that is a long obedience in the same direction. No shortcuts, no easy formulas. Be careful, be wise about false prophets who smile a lot. There are plenty out there trying to rip you off. Don't be impressed with charisma that is not backed by character. And may your faith, may your life be practiced and thoughtful. Quick and easy only gets you into more trouble. Build your life and faith upon a good, solid foundation. For the rain and floods come. That's life. It's not always easy. But when the struggles of life happen, your faith will not be washed away as if it was built upon sand. This is a piece of kingdom living. This is our orientation as a people of God. This is what God's desires. These are the good things in life. Amen. I invite us to join in song as we sing, "Give Us Clean Hands." Please stand if you're able and let us sing. You may be seated, and let us offer our prayers for the church and the world and those in need, and join in together in unison with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, who is continually moving towards us, let us embrace the costly blessings which you desire for us. Blessings that confound the wisdom and strength of this world. Let us live into your way. Teach us to be your agents of preservation in a world touched by death, and beacons of hope, a city on a hill in a world shrouded in darkness. Continually transform us into